news, everyone.
It's Jake Z. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great. Everybody else sucks.
Let's get dangerous.
Yes, sir, random kid I just met.
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list.
Hooray. People are paying attention for me.
It's all in football.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? Super Bowl is over. That's it for the show. See you guys next year. No, I'm just kidding. It is All in Football on FTN Network, at Chris Meany, at Stepmom Lauren. And yes, the Super Bowl is in the books. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have another title, and we're here to talk about that and way too early discussions for next year. But right out of the gate, I figured I'd bring this up because I've been watching over the past few days, as I'm sure a lot of people have, Jason Kelce having a lot of fun. No, what I'm talking about is Patrick Mahomes' rank on the all-time quarterbacks list. It's been on every network, every poll, everything, whatever. So I did my own poll because I'm curious what our fans think. And I said, where does Patrick Mahomes rank currently all-time? Your choices were number one, or number two behind Brady, or number three behind Brady and Montana, or number four behind Brady, Montana, and Manning. So I think about 10% of our viewers are Chiefs fans because they ranked him number one. 10% already said he's the number one all-time as of today. This isn't like what we expect going forward. If Patrick Mahomes retired tomorrow, it's like, surprise, I'm done. I'm going out. I'm doing it like Barry Sanders. I'm done. Number one, apparently 10%. Here's the interesting thing. 52% said he's number two, only behind Brady already as of today. I'm not even going to get into my debate part of this yet because I'm going to let you guys jump in. But the lack of respect for not even just Joe Montana, because I'm not even a Joe Montana fan, because everybody knows by now, if you've been paying attention to the show, Joe Montana was a jerk to me and I don't like Joe Montana. But that being said, the lack of respect for Montana and the lack of respect for Peyton Manning is shocking to me, Chris Meany. 52, it's almost climbing up to 53%. Montana and Manning combined, if you combine their percentages for third and fourth place for Mahomes on this list, is not even 40%. So over 60% think he's definitively already today better than Manning and Montana. Where do you stand, Chris Meany? And is Jalen Hurts number three?
If Hurts was able to pull that out last year, maybe he'd be number three. We're talking about him in a different way. But no, I'll probably shock you a little bit more. I definitely want to put some respect on Joe Montana's name, right? I mean, that guy certainly is a legend. Peyton Manning, of course. Maybe people are just living in the moment, and that's why there's so many votes for Mahomes. But I probably would put him at two. Like, everything that he has just done already at age 28, I mean, he is on the Brady trajectory. Like, he's on that
path. Yeah, but I don't want trajectory. I want today, period, done, end of
today,
career.
Today, I'll say yes. Like, I mean, the numbers back it up. I mean, he's got 15 playoff wins, only behind Brady Montana. He's the first ever quarterback to start four Super Bowls before 30, only behind Brady and Elway. And I think we can agree that he's ahead of Elway. The third quarterback to start four Super Bowls in a five-year span, just in general. And he's been in the league for 6 years. And he has six AFC championship games, three Super Bowls, and three Super Bowl MVPs, which I don't think Tom did in the first 6 to 8 years of his career. So, yeah, man, he is he's a freak.
Let me spin this a direction. What if these were all his numbers from 30 to 35? Like, does it really matter that it's the beginning of the career versus the middle of the career versus the end of the career to you?
I think it does, yeah, because...
Well, because then at that point for Brady and, even Manning, doing it late into their 30s and not Brady into their 40s, like, you could make the argument about Manning when he was doing it. I mean, he's doing a post-neck surgery. This dude had a fused neck. His body was done.
And I don't want to take anything away from that, and it's very important to finish strong, but imagine if Mahomes can finish strong as well, then, again, we're looking ahead, but he has had... I don't think anybody can start a career more perfect across all sports.
Okay, well, one more counterpoint, because you brought up the four Super Bowls, but it baked into those four Super Bowls is Mahomes looked like trash against the Buccaneers. Let's be honest. That was a miserable game. That was, and I'm not saying like you ignore the other three. I'm not a put it this way, like, and I'm this is why I was going to do this. I'm interjecting my arguments throughout and then like maybe kind of give a summation at the end, but I'm not the needs a ring person because, and I put that in quotes for everybody that's not watching, because of course Dan Marino's the big one. Everybody's like, well, Dan Marino is one of the top five, at worst, top 10 quarterbacks of all time. I'd still probably put him inside the top five, probably at five, with Mahomes right there. Well, wait, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, 4, 5. But like Jim Kelly, he's in the Hall of Fame. He went 0-4 in the Super Bowl. Like, terrible in the Super Bowl. Like, you're 1 of 11 and you're 1 of 22 starters. And you're like, this is the same thing as NBA. Like, I'm not going to, you know, trash NBA players. And you know, that's only five people where they could control a lot by being on the court. I'm not going to hold this against people because then you can go down the route. And again, there's arguments there every single way, but you can go down the road of Peyton Manning would have had more if not for Brady. Well, then maybe, you know, Brady has more if not for Eli, the other Manning. Like, and then what if, you know, you go like, and then you go, well, Charles Barkley should have had some rings. Like, if not for, and you can do the if not, if not, if not, if not. But I'm just saying, like, I just think as of today, like, I think that it's tough for most people, and I'll let you finish your argument, Meanie, and then Lauren jump in. But I think most people, it's tough. I'm not saying you are doing this. I think it's just tough for most people to say, I turn off my brain right now. He never plays another game in his life, and he's still number two. Like, I just, you see what I'm saying? I think it's just tough for most people to not say, like, well, of course he's going to be great for another 5 years.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, let's be honest, he was set up perfectly. Like, Andy Reid to me is one of the best coaches of all time. People are going to say Belichick, and that's fair, and that's probably the right answer, but Andy Reid is right there. Like, he's number two in playoff wins. He's had a beast in Travis Kelce, but whatever he was able to do this year, I just thought was really impressive. I mean, his team led the league in drops. They led the line in offensive line penalties. The offense looked stale. And yeah, he hasn't looked good really honestly at any of the Super Bowls. In the first half of any of them, but he was able to adjust. And I think that's a big telling point as well. He was able to make those adjustments in the second half and use his legs in this Super Bowl to make it happen. And again, he did it last year too. So yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he's number two for me. I just think he's so talented, and I don't know what, is he just scratching the surface of his prime? He may just be.
Sure, but now you're bringing up that argument again.
But the resume right now speaks for itself, and that's important. You got to win games. You got to win them. Look back and say that Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson didn't get any Super Bowls because Mahomes is Jordan-esque, and he's just winning them all in a six-year period, to your point about
or
Barkley
Brady.
And all these other great players. Or Brady, what he did to Peyton Manning and those good quarterbacks. It's just, it's crazy that it's, we just lived in the Brady world forever. And then he's gone, and all of a sudden there's a new guy.
We're in the Mahomes era. Yeah, this is great. This is so wonderful. So I'll slide this one in here, Lauren, as you jump in. I don't know if this is one that I should slide in, or should I let it sit from and make a bigger point out of this? But also in the fact of, like, Joe Montana played in an era where you were actually allowed to play defense. Could just put that out there, like, where quarterbacks and wide receivers got. Like, you got lit up! And that was actually the Manning area, but, like, back then, like, wide receivers get tackled up before they even had the ball in their hands.
And I just want to say one more thing.
I said Lauren, not you, Meanie.
Just, you went to Montana, and I interviewed Montana, too, and he wasn't this super nice to me either, LC. He would have been maybe nicer to you. I don't know. Maybe we rubbed him the wrong way with the questions. But he said, when he was talking about Cam Newton that year, and he's like, must be nice for Cam to be able to run and these quarterbacks to be able to throw the ball 50 plus times. He's like, when I was a quarterback, we just ran the ball 75% of the time, so maybe my numbers would have been a bit better. So I just wanted to throw that out there about Montana. It was definitely a different era. All right, I'm done.
Now you're done.
Okay, so my biggest argument here, I am going to put him behind all three of those quarterbacks. My biggest argument here is, if we look at it from an analyst perspective, not just fantasy football, but a football analyst perspective, all the talking heads that are out there, pregame, postgame, game, and now you name it, right? SportsCenter, NFL Network, what, blah, blah, blah. Is Patrick Mahomes' name going to be in that history reference every single sentence when we talk about the greatness of quarterbacks like Brady's is, like Montana's is? Like Peyton Manning's, are we there yet? Is Patrick Mahomes there yet? I think this recency bias that we have over the last several years lend itself now to saying, oh yeah, he's number one, or yeah, he's number two. But in 10 years from now, is he going to have that longevity that those men have? I don't think so. Right now, he is behind those quarterbacks for me. But I will touch on what Chris Meany did say. The trajectory is limitless. So I think that we have just started seeing some of the greatness that Mahomes is capable of doing. But as of right now, if he were to retire out, just peter out and be like, peace. If he were to retire today, I don't think that he would have that same kind of sparkle and shine, if you will, as the other gentlemen on your list have. So as of right now, I'm going to put him at number four. But eventually, when his career is done and he's ready to hang it up, he will be undoubtedly the number one.
So it's funny that you brought up that meaning about the running. You know, Joe Montana actually ran for two touchdowns in the Super Bowls. In Super Bowls, plural. Two different times he ran for a touchdown.
I'm surprised you didn't bring that up.
So here's, and that's where I was actually going to go with this, is so we're talking about somebody that is 4-0 in the Super Bowl, Joe Montana. I'm making more Joe Montana cases here, obviously.
Yeah.
And yes, the very first one against the Bengals, and I don't think any of us were none of us were watching that live. I don't think most of us were alive. I don't think a lot of us were watching live in 1984, like to be at 1988, probably watching as kids, probably can't even remember most of Joe Montana's career. Either not alive or not remembering because we were too young. So, like, to be honest, like,
yeah, people are living in the moment.
Right.
That's why they're voting.
I think we've all seen it in replay. We've all seen it to this point, and that's why I'm bringing up the style of it, obviously. But just go to the biggest thing: 4 Super Bowls, over 1,100 passing yards. How about this? 11. We know the numbers. 11 passing touchdowns, 0 interceptions for Joe Montana in the Super Bowl. Some people were like, "Well, he played with Jerry Rice and all the other guys," but like, let's be honest. We're also playing with, obviously, well, arguably, the best tight end of all time and Travis Kelce. So not like Patrick Mahomes has nobody, and he's had better teams on this. But to go back to it, not quite 1,100 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and actually 0 rushing touchdown. Oh, no, 1 rushing touchdown for Mahomes. But the numbers are there. Like, even if you take out the Tampa Bay game, 2 for 2 in the first one against San Francisco, 2 interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 2 for 1, he threw the 1 against the 49ers. You mentioned it. Meaning is that a lot of times he doesn't show up. Mahomes, that's who I'm talking about, doesn't show up until late in the game for a lot of these Super Bowls. He actually pulled like a high of Brock Purdy in this Super Bowl that we just watched. Actually, for everybody out there, this sidebar, this is a great Super Bowl. Bull, it was a great fourth quarter in overtime.
Yeah.
If you want, this is the best way to watch Super. If you like, were at a Rip Van Winkle and you slept through the entire damn thing. Here's what you do. You tune on for halftime, go back to sleep for a quick nap, wake up at the end of the third quarter, and then watch the rest, and boom, you got the best experience possible. Like, just letting you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Peyton Manning one, like, I even feel like he gets more disrespect in this conversation. Let's go back to what would he know about 2-2 in Super Bowls, has a Super Bowl, has multiple MVPs, actually has the most MVPs regular season still of all time. That's got to be broken. It has to be if it's like that. I'm saying it's still out there. Still has the passing yards for a single season in 16 games. Brees almost caught him, but he did it in 16 games. And here's my biggest thing. Peyton Manning, like, I think part of what he did is not just Super Bowls, is not just wins on the field. It's not just, oh, versus Brady, and he couldn't beat Brady, and he would have had more if not Brady. Like, I even mentioned that at the top because everybody knows the rivalry for the longest time. But I think the bigger thing that comes down to my argument for Peyton Manning too is like he legitimately changed the football world. Like not just the NFL, but the world. Like, so first of all, he changed the NFL from the reason people hot route in Madden, his own offensive coordinator for a time. Like he changed adjusting at the line for the NFL. Like NFL defenses and offenses mimicked him. And then defenses had to figure out how to stop somebody that was changing everything at the line, watching what you were doing and picking it apart and saying, you know what? Well, I'm just going to do this. To the point it spilled over to mainstream media where we have memes, skits, and Omaha. He changed the world. Like, and that's the thing, Lauren. Like, I think Manning just gets kind of pushed to the side. Like, it's like, and that, as you saw, the reason I put the poll out there, Manning was on the fourth spot of the poll because everybody's like, You go right now on Google. You can search best quarterbacks of all time. Everybody wrote an article about it because of SEO. That's the biggest thing. Like, hit S. Mahomes, number two. But if you look at all the list, it's Mahomes 2 or Mahomes 3 because it's Montana, and nobody's ever putting Manning in front of them at this point.
I see what you're saying. And so you're actually elaborating a little bit on the point that I made earlier. And when we are referencing these guys, I'm not just talking about football numbers. I'm talking about changing the game, changing the way we see the game. I mean, the Mannings have their own broadcast now on ESPN2. These things are pretty unheard of. And I just, could Patrick Mahomes have that? Sure. But does he have it now? No. Like, so yeah, you're just elaborating on the point I was trying to make earlier, is that I don't know if 10 years from now, in reference, looking back on Mahomes' time that he has currently, how does he change the game? How does he play the game? Is he's going to be one of the greats? Is he the greatest? So I don't know. I think he needs more time. But yeah, it's not just playing on the field. It's everything. He's on his way, though. I mean, he's in every Subway commercial. I mean, however many things he's on, Oakley's. You know, he's all over the place.
You know what the best moment of 2023/24, because it spilled over, you know what the best moment for me was? When somebody asked him to do his Kermit the Frog impression, and he just talked normal. I said, this is my voice. Like, that was the best thing. This is my Kermit Frog impression. That was the best thing.
Yeah.
Real quick, hold on. I want to try to make an argument for you, Meanie. I'm going to help. Lauren, if I told you today is, I was about to check the date, but I should know it's Valentine's Day. There you go. Meanie didn't get the message to wear red today.
Happy Valentine's Day.
If told you today, February 14th, 2024, already in advance, I saw the future. I am from February 14th, 2025. Patrick Mahomes wins the next Super Bowl. Now would he rank number two for you? If you already knew that. Okay, so like the one could change everything.
The
just
only
one more year.
Quarterback ever and team ever to win three straight? Hell yeah. He's already number two for me anyways. I like, and it's no, maybe
so
Montana.
So he didn't sway you at all?
You didn't. I grew up in a Niners home, so I heard
you can't
all
be bitter.
Montana, and I seen
you can't
all
be better.
No. Wait, my dad, my old man was a Niners fan.
This is why you can't be bitter, is because here it is. Look, there's the Joe Montana picture with stupid Jake with no face hair and a shape like buzz cut. This is the, like, I don't even, like, who looks more awkward to be there, me or Joe Montana? Joe Montana, because he hates everybody. He hates my guts. Asshole.
Again, you're not the only one that had an awkward interview with him. And the picture is up in my old man's place.
I don't remember the picture now. I still haven't listened to the interview again. I still have it on, I don't remember what they were called. Meanie, you probably remember these, like the old, like it was a disc, but not a disc, things that you did for like those kind of interviews back in the day. Like it was one of those, and they had to convert it.
Cassettes.
Yeah, but they were like, it wasn't a cassette. It was that, that's what I'm talking about. Anyway, we're dating ourselves here. I still have never listened back because I'm like, I don't want to listen how terrible it was because I don't remember any of it. I just blacked out because he was a jerk. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah. Again, you're not alone. I also blacked out.
Anyways,
I got nothing else to say besides...
I hate him with you.
Mahomes, we could say about Kelsey, but Mahomes has thrown to pretty average wide receivers over the past 2 years too, and has got this done. And all those other guys, and it's just added into the conversation. Jerry Rice is the best playoff performer of all time, and Kelsey may pass him next year in a lot of categories. Like he did pass him this year in most catches, but
Manning often had one.
Manning was definitely more talented than Brady. I don't know if that's a hot take. I see the comment from Mr. Nice Guy. He was the best quarterback at reading defenses. Your guys' take is spot on. Like the Omaha, the change of everything at the line of scrimmage, all that nonsense. I just think Mahomes, man. I nothing else to say. Mahomes Mahomes is on his way. Like
yes,
on
his
way.
Okay,
and he's more talented than those guys too for what he can do with his legs.
Well, then, do you have a problem with next year's Super Bowl odds being the 49ers as the favorites right now? So right now, on average, they're around plus 500 money line for next year's Super Bowl. The Chiefs are around 650 on most sites. And then for everybody out there, Ravens, Lions, Bills, Bengals, Cowboys, Eagles, and that's everybody that's sub plus 2,000. Then you get into the Dolphins and my Texans and stuff like that, which, by the way, how hilarious is this? The five teams that are plus 15,000 money line. The Panthers, understandable, all the way up at plus 25,000 on some sites. Commanders, also not surprising. Patriots, not surprising. Titans, not surprising. And ha ha ha, stupid Giants. They're down there with them. Enjoy that. I told you, look, if they draft the quarterback, I will sing Let It Go, because I will let it go on the podcast if they actually draft the quarterback.
They can't get out of Jones, though, right? Just the way that contract is? There's no way.
Oh, it would be a one-year. It would be an open competition for camp, which means he loses it, and then they're paying him $40 million for a backup. That's just what's going to happen. But anyway, So you Mimi, you already said yes. You have a problem with this. You have a problem with the 49ers being the favorites for next year.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It should be the Chiefs, right? I mean, why isn't it the Chiefs? Last year, the Eagles opened up as favorites too. Why wasn't it the Chiefs? I don't understand. Like, I don't think people gave the Chiefs defense enough credit this year. And last year, they were the youngest defense to ever win the Super Bowl. They're all rookies. And this year, they doubled down and they won the Super Bowl. And think about the path that they just went on. They played the four teams that they played in Miami, Baltimore, Buffalo, and San Fran. Those are all top six defenses. They all average like 30 points per game. They just rolled through all four of them.
They're probably all six in the top four six games, teams.
Yeah. They allowed 15 points per game in those games. Everyone's like, oh, why is Ayuk, Ayuk's wife or girlfriend? Ayuk never got the ball three catches. Legarius Sneed, hello. He's shut down wide receiver ones all year long. Jones got after the quarterback and Brock Purdy when the game was on the line. Dude, they just forgot about protecting him. This defense and Spags, we talked about in the series show. We talked about it last week on this show. This guy is a stud.
Yeah.
And now he's won multiple Super Bowls as an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. Like, nobody talks about Kansas City's defense. It's just Mahomes, and I get it. He deserves his flowers, but this defense has been phenomenal all year long. So yes, they should be Super Bowl favorites until somebody knocks them off. They were dogs in the last three games as well. Like, a gift from Vegas. Again, go ahead, take them. Don't bet on the Niners.
Do you agree, Lauren, after all that?
It's crazy.
I mean, I'm afraid not to.
Yes, I'm persuasive.
All fired up over there. Sure.
I'm just shocked. I don't understand. Why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be KC?
Well, then let me head in this direction. As you can see, the rat
pivot.
It almost looks like Rio right down there. The Rashee Rice jersey down there. So I wanted to ask, this is for fantasy purposes, now that we get into this conversation. We've already had the quarterback discussion. We have plenty of months to talk about, too, where Mahomes ranks for next year. But does the finish for Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce change your guys' opinions at all? So let's step back 1 month plus ago when it was Travis Kelce, the disappointment of the year conversation. When we gave out awards, as he was in there with Austin Eckler and those of the likes, Travis Kelce had a miserable season. According to Travis Kelce's standards, let's be clear, to finish 2 or 3 and only 11 points per game and change, that's miserable for Travis Kelce. That's not why people drafted Travis Kelce as a first rounder, and actually a lot of single digit performances. But before we get to Rice, we'll stick on Kelce first. The playoffs changed everything. Playoffs. Old Travis Kelce showed up. Here's his game log for everybody out there. 10, this is targets, receptions, yards, and then touchdowns. 10, 771, 6, 5, 75, and 2 touchdowns. 11 for 11 for 116 and a touchdown to get to the Super Bowl. 10, 9, 93 in the Super Bowl. Does this finish, and he's not retiring, he's already said so, even though, and he also didn't propose to Taylor Swift. Does that finish, Lauren, change your opinion on if Sam Laporta is the one next year, Travis Kelce is the one, Mark Andrews, who else do we want to throw, Trey McBride? Is Travis Kelce's finish in the playoffs make you change your opinion of what we just talked about a month plus ago?
No, I don't think it does. I think his age has something to do with this. Yes, he's coming back. That is fantastic. Is he going to be the tight end one? Maybe, likely. However, there's a lot more sparkle and shine on names like Sam Laporta. So in my opinion, I think Sam Laporta is a hair ahead of him, I think because of youth. The excitement behind the Lions, what they were able to do this season is pretty incredible, and they did it on the back of Sam Laporta. This is very Travis Kelce-esque. I'm really happy with this finish. We need to have more tight ends in the league like these two, but I don't think this is going to change my personal perspective on this next year. However, I brought up recency bias earlier. I think that it's going to be, oh, Travis Kelce is back. I just don't want people to get super disappointed with the possible return on investment that you were looking for this year and did not get.
I may actually have some Travis Kelce shares this year if he falls.
Exactly. And I don't hate that either.
I never feel comfortable taking him in the first round.
Go to the first round.
No, it doesn't change too much. I think it would change for me. Like, maybe I had him at like 3 or 4 and now I would, like, he still definitely has enough juice, like maybe over Mark Andrews. Still think I definitely like Laporte over him. We'll see what Arizona does. I know they're going to draft a wide receiver, but McBride, I would I would have over him too. Just a nice young tight end. These guys are just up and coming, and they've been. I mean, Laporta as a rookie, and McBride is what, year two, year three, and it is pretty impressive what we saw from him with different quarterbacks. So overall, Kelce, I mean, he had 7 years in a row with 1,000 yards. He could have got it, I think, in the final game of the season. He talked about it on the podcast. Oh, yeah. Didn't think it was right to get it. So maybe he does that. And it's like, it's still a down year in 1,000 yards. But 5 touchdowns is one below. Like 4 was his career low. And 10.6 yards per carry was his career low. So to Lauren's point, like he did look a little slower, quote unquote, older, battled through injuries. You know, now he's going to be another year older. But, man, he just flipped the switch like the whole team did. Just like Gronk said earlier, I think a couple weeks ago, he talked about lulls that the Patriots had all those years. And then it was almost like they were just sleepwalking through the regular season. And then when it mattered most, they all just flipped switches and they were just amazing again. I don't know if he can do that next year, but he's still a top five tight end. And he still definitely has
without
it.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Number one all time, in your opinion?
I don't think, man, like when you look at the numbers, Tony Gonzalez just blows him away in a lot of the numbers, but he played over like Gonzalez played over 130 more games than him.
Yeah.
You just look at per game basis, like almost 20 more yards per game.
Well, that's what we're doing with Mahomes. I'm surprised you were after the Mahomes whole conversation. I'm surprised you're not like, yes, 100%.
No, because I've looked into it so much and I just think he's going to go down as the best playoff performer of all time.
No, he's the best tight end of all time.
Wide receivers.
He's the best tight end of all time.
Man, Tony Gonzalez is a really good tight end.
But now we're playing the whole game with Patrick Mahomes.
No, we're not. Really.
Yeah, we are, because we're never doing. Because Travis Kelce has 100. You just mentioned all the fewer games, and now we're talking like Mahomes, like he doesn't need all those games to be better than.
But Gonzalez, like he's got all the numbers, and he's got.
So does Peyton Manning and Joe Montana.
Not Peyton doesn't. Peyton doesn't have like.
Yes, he does. Not from the. He's got all the yards and all the touchdowns.
Just regular season stuff, not playoff stuff.
We're not only talking playoffs. Playoffs.
I am with the quarterbacks. Like that's why I have Mahomes ahead of Manning.
Wow. I think
Tony Gonzalez is more.
You have two legs. You have one side over the east end of the fence playing this game here, meaning me.
I think Tony Gonzalez is more talented tight end. That's it.
I think
it's a hot take to say Kelce. I brought up this conversation last year. Everyone said I was like ridiculous, said he was like behind Kelce, Gates, Witten, and Gronk. And again, this conversation came up at FTN. Everyone called me stupid for even bringing it up. I'm glad you like it. I think there's certainly a conversation. But
well, I mean,
I'm
just going to say, I mean, usually like if there's one person on the island by themselves and everybody else is calling them stupid, I'm just saying.
I don't know. He take may the go hit, down maybe. The best. Maybe he gets more.
Right, you too.
I'm coming for Manny.
I don't know why. I mean, Gonzalez is pretty good, man.
It's also longevity versus actual. You just said it on the performance on the per year basis. But let's
had multiple
there you
better
go.
Seasons than Kelce.
Another conversation for another day. There you go. Rashee Rice. Speaking of on the game logs in the playoffs and where he was. So interesting enough, something that said for interesting results that are they going to repeat in 2024? I've had tabbed for a while. We've kind of sprinkled in a few conversations through there. But one of them was, and I kept waiting for them to get knocked out of the playoffs before I talked about him, was Rashee Rice. Rashee Rice has been on the list since day one because Rashee Rice averaged 3 yards per target. Like that tongue in cheek, miserable ADOT. I mean, miserable. We're talking about of people with 1,000 yards range, like one of the worst by far, but that's part of the game. But then you saw the downside of what it is. He basically got to the playoffs and turned into Juju Smith-Schuster from the Chiefs because look at his game log. Great start, super wild card round. 12-8, 130, and a touchdown. Things are great. This is like, wow, this is Rashee Rice. That we remember this. Yeah. Then 4-4-47, no touchdowns in the last three games, by the way. 9-8 for 46 yards. 8-6 for 39 yards. Like I said, those last three games, he turned into Juju Smith-Schuster. The reason I say that name is I would take Rashee Rice over him 10 times out of 10. I have freaking Rashee Rice's jersey behind me, autographed. I'm excited about Rashee Rice. However, the style that he plays, the fit in this offense, the way that Travis Kelce, if you look at the game log, almost offset each other in the fact that we went for years with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, 50, 55, almost 60% of the target share. And it's like, great, they're both amazing. This was very offset. Why? Because stylistically, where does Rashee Rice excel? Where does Travis Kelce excel? They almost cannibalize each other. They can still both have good games, but I don't think this is the Tyreek Hill situation, which is why I'm baking all this preamble for you, Lauren, to say that is there concerns for Rashee Rice in 2024 repeating, we're not just repeating, but even taking a step forward where we consider him a top 15, even at worst, a top 20 wide receiver because of this. Because he is essentially Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, short game, volume. But if Travis Kelce is anywhere back to being Travis Kelce, look at the game logs. They cannibalize each other. So is there a conversation to be had here that maybe Rashee Rice isn't the what we want next year in top 15, top 20?
I'm going to say no. I do have a lot of faith in Rashee Rice next season. This, come on, he was a rookie. This was a struggle bus year for the Chiefs during a significant stretch of their season. I understand the concern, so I'm not going to dismiss those. So I think he will fall in drafts because of that. Top 20, I think, is a very good place for him to be. Top 10, but I am going to approach him as a top 20 wide receiver, and I think he's only going to take a step forward in this offense. I think Andy Reid is smart enough to know those two don't need to be cannibalized. There was a weird learning curve this year for the Chiefs, wasn't there? Drop passes, issues with the run game. Then everything started getting picked up again. Oh, then, you know, Patrick Mahomes has to come back and be, Mr. Fairy Tale. There was a lot of weird things that happened this season, but I am not concerned about Rashee Rice moving forward, and I think that he's versatile enough to not have to cannibalize. I'm just going to stick with that word because I don't know. I guess I'm in that spicy mood today to repeat the word cannibalize four times.
I think he's a stud. I think he's got a top 10 upside at fantasy. We'll see what the Chiefs do. I think they're going to be up against the cap. They've got a lot of defensive players assigned. So a lot of people think that they're going to sign Mike Evans. I just don't think they need Mike Evans, and I don't think they have the money to sign Mike Evans. Yeah, I mean, imagine Mike Evans and Rice and Kelce just lock it up, another win. But yeah, they're the number one screen team in the league. Andy Reid's the best play caller in the game. Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback in the game. And at the first, for the first 8 or 9 weeks of the season, it was Rice wasn't even unleashed. It was like, oh my goodness, we're throwing the ball to Darius Toney and Sky Moore and this other loser and that other loser. And then after the bye, Rice was the focal point of the offense. It was just, he was the guy. And in the playoffs, it was, I know his numbers came down a little bit, but it was just him and Kelce. Nobody else was getting any targets. So I don't know, top 15, definitely a wide receiver too.
Top 15.
Room to grow. I could say top 15, roughly. Wide receiver two, if it's a low end, I think ceiling to be a top 15 guy. Only going to get better as a player.
What? Whoa.
He's only going to improve, man. His route running ability, learning from Mahomes.
I'm not saying he's not going to improve as a player. Like, look, again, the jersey's behind me. But I don't think we can ignore the playoffs and forget the playoffs. Actually, you know what? Let's ignore them for a second. Because
big time plays in the playoffs.
I don't care about the big time plays themselves. Let me make my point here. I'm throwing out the entire conversation that I started with the playoffs. Those three games were miserable. Those three games, but the big problem was is those three games are the example and the proof of what happened in the regular season. The fact is we're banking on a player. And the reason I brought up Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, because Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, without touchdowns, don't even sniff wide receiver one status. And I'm not saying he can't get the touchdowns, but that's what we're going to need. Because we're going to need that, because he's not, like, yes, he will grow as a player, but he's not going to be Brandon Ayuk, ADOT, or whatever you want to use, air yard, whatever. He's not going to be top 20, probably, ever. And it's not just top 20. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to just go right now. I'm going to find out where he ranked overall. And what do you want? You want to say minimum 20 targets on the season? Do you want to take this? Does that feel fair?
Well, his yards per target are 9.2.
Yeah, he was like top five in yards after the catch, a red zone target.
After the catch, yes.
Yeah, he's a different player than Ayuk. Yeah, but
oh no, he's a different player than like
in his hands.
He's a different player than Chris Olave. But anyway, my point being, I was just saying 20 from the minimum. Do you want 20 from the minimum? Is that a fair number, or do you want like how many targets do you want from the minimum for the year? Who do you want me to toss out? 50? 25?
I'm not sure what we're doing.
So I'm going to tell you as soon as I pull up a number. I'm going to pull up a number. Just
let's
give
do,
me. qualifier.
Let's do 50 on the qualifier.
Minimum target, 50 targets on the year. You want 50 targets? Okay.
Yes, please.
The reason I'm saying this is because it's not going to change the end result except for how many people are involved, because this is what I was going to tell you. Like, I know where I'm going with this. I just want to bring it up because I know where I'm going with it. For the season, actually, you know what you did, Lauren? Because I did minimum 20 targets. There was originally four people behind him. Now there's nobody. Nobody. Air yards per target for the season for Rashee Rice, 80th out of 80 wide receivers, dead effing last. I'm not saying he's not a great wide receiver. I'm just saying to put him inside the top 15, you can't average that. You can't average 4.81 yards per target and finish inside the top 15. Like, this is who he's behind. Rondell Moore, Wandell Robinson, Tyler Boyd, Curtis Samuel, Josh Downs, Adam Thielen, Michael Pitt. Like, the volume would have to be...
Like, who? But I don't understand, though. Like, why does that matter? Like, Debo's not a big A-dot guy. He's finished as a top 15 wide receiver. Like, you...
Debo has over 2 yards more.
I think
and he also runs.
Is that Travis
really he also runs.
Like,
he
Travis
runs.
Kelce and Rashee Rice are going to cannibalize each other. So when one has a great game, the other is not. There's not going to be any synergy between the two of them where they can both excel in this offense. So if we expect Travis Kelce to have an excellent season, that is going to be taking away significant targets from Rashee Rice because they kind of play almost the same position. I want to know, I was trying to look it up right now, but my computer wants to hate me at this moment. I want to see how many times they line up slot out wide out. I want to really take a look and dive down into those numbers. I see what you're saying. I just think that there is a world that we live in under Patrick Mahomes, or with Patrick Mahomes, pardon me, that you can have two excellent guys that play, let's just call him a slot receiver, and then the tight end position. I think that there is a world where both those two can exist and have excellent fantasy seasons.
Absolutely. There's multiple teams that have two
weapons.
Did
I completely not get what you were trying to argue, Jake?
No, I don't know. Yeah, I mean... I don't know. Like, we're not ready. We can't just say that this guy's not going to have a higher A-dot. He's not going to learn different routes. Like, that was the miscommunication at the start of the year. He was running different routes. Like, they developed him a little bit more as a wide receiver. I think with Andy Reid, they can develop him even more. Like, his route tree can grow. We can't just say that this guy is going to have an A-dot of 2 next year as a sophomore wide receiver. Like, I can't even believe we're talking about that.
Like, do we have the numbers of his like yards per target or his average depth of target just for the postseason? Do we have any of those numbers like handy? Because if not, we can always look them up later. Just curious, because as you grow, and just as you said, when they flipped a switch and started getting better, how different was Rashee Rice postseason as opposed to regular season? What changed? What kind of routes was he running? I would love to see Matt Harmon's reception perception on the difference between the two of those. That would be really interesting to see. Curious.
So. You want just playoffs?
Yeah, just playoffs. What is A-dot is?
So his air yards per target for just playoffs is even worse.
Is even worse? Okay, interesting. 3.79. Wow.
Again. Yeah. Again. Meaning you're kind of I think you're missing my point here. Like,
I think so.
Yeah, it must be. I mean, we're just looking into the playoffs a little bit. They played three really good defenses, too. Like, I don't think we can look at the playoffs
why are we throwing anything out? You can't throw at anything. You can't throw at the playoffs.
That's such a small sample size compared to what he did in the previous 10 games.
Which is worse. It's worse in the playoffs. My point being, I wasn't even including the playoffs. I'm saying the style that Rashee Rice plays, and I'm not saying he can't grow. But it's the fit of this offense. What works in this offense? What works with Patrick Mahomes? Rashee Rice in this style. He's always done well with the bigger slots. Tyreek Hill ran a lot out of the slot. Tyreek Hill also got downfield a lot more. It's just different. They're not the same style at all. It's just what works in this offense, design schemes, everything like that. Point being, the reason I brought up Juju Smith-Schuster is because that was his number one wide receiver for that time, because that's the role he's filling. Rashee Rice can develop. Never said that. Ever Rashee Rice jersey. I love Rashee Rice. My point simply is for fantasy, 100% simply, end of story. You cannot, even if you put him up to Debo, let's take your Debo argument. Even if you give him an extra 2 yards per target, let's do that. Let's put him up to Debo. That's how far behind he is. He's 2 yards behind Debo. And Debo has a pretty slow number because he's Debo. He doesn't have the rushing. The only reason Debo's finished as a wide receiver one anytime, and even this past year he was right on the cusp, is because 5 rushing touchdowns and hundreds of rushing yards. I'm just saying, the Rashee Rice's style, what he does with Patrick Mahomes, what he does with the Chiefs offense, even give him the extra 2 yards per target, he's still not going to be a top 12, top 15 wide receiver, which is fine. He can be a wide receiver too.
We're allowed to disagree, man. That's it. That's it. I just disagree. I mean,
I think
seven
he's
going to
be firmly
in the 1,000
yards.
Yeah, he's a yak monster. He's a red zone target. He's going to be the number one red zone target again. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I think he has upside to be top 15 guy.
I didn't say have a, I was saying putting them there right now, next year, top 15.
No, he's not. I don't know. Low end wide receiver too. That's I think what I said earlier. Upside to be a top 15 guy.
Would you take DK Metcalf, Michael Pittman, Keenan Allen, Rashee Rice? Those four.
I would take Rashee over Keenan. Probably not Pittman and probably not DK. No.
Adams?
Forget the other guy you mentioned. Devontae, I'd take Rice over Adams.
And then Olave?
Right now, today, I do believe the Saints will draft a wide receiver, but right now, today, I would take Olave.
Even if they draft a wide receiver, I still take Olave. Waddle, your boy Devontae Smith, number twos?
Rice over those guys. Yeah.
Rice or Godwin, Mr. Nice Guy. I'd even take Rice over Godwin.
Well, so I would, can I just throw out some interesting food for thought?
Yes,
just absolutely. I'm gonna do on Meanie's argument here when it comes to Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. When Tyreek Hill played for the Chiefs, his yards per target were 9.7. That was in 2019, 9.5 in 2020, and then 7.8 in 2021.
Which is double what Rashee Rice is.
Well, Rashee Rice was 9.2. For the regular season is what I'm. This is
not per target.
To ProFootballReference.com. Yeah, yards per his yard per target was 9.2.
Oh, yards per target. We're talking about air yards, though.
Yeah, forget air yards.
It matters. That's the whole point of the conversation.
MVS led the league in A dot, and he had a bunch of air yards.
I'm just saying, according to the yards per target. Okay, air yards is a little different. I get it. There is that dichotomy.
I think that's what just makes him
so special. I'm not calling him Tyreek Hill, everybody. I'm just saying there is a world where both of them can exist.
I get it. And again, I'll go back to, there's Bengals 1A, 1B, and the Eagles and the Dolphins and the Rams back in the day. There's all these 1As and 1Bs. I don't know. I think his explosiveness is what makes him special.
That's
Chris
Meany. I'm 1A, you're 1B. On this podcast.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's all going to not matter when KC drafts another wide receiver.
It's
they probably
gonna matter.
Something because Kelce is getting older. And if he does slow down even more, then maybe Rice turns into a 15 target per game type of guy. Like he was basically averaging 10 in the last 2 months of the season. But if they draft, because Sky Moore and Kadarius, they need to probably bring in some help. Who knows?
Who, the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Well, of course, they need to bring in some help. But anyway, I was going back to the wide receivers. So, yeah, no, not even Chris Godwin. Not even if, would you say Chris Godwin, if Baker's back and no Mike Evans, though, if Mike Evans left?
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, if it's just Chris Godwin as the wide receiver one on that team, he's right in that tier. Target, kind of same sort of guy, not a high A dot, target monster.
Okay. Well, there's a piece of news. Let's come back to it before we get out of here. There was a name that I threw out there that has some concerning issues, and that was Keenan Allen. So not only this Keenan Allen, and this isn't so much about Keenan Allen. This is so much actually about his quarterback. Keenan Allen has nobody else as of right now outside of a rookie hopefully catching on in his second season and Quentin Johnston, who had a miserable rookie season. But no Mike Williams, likely. I doubt that he's back. Whether that they go forward with Joshua Palmer as Johnston as the number two is not really where I'm going here. What I'm going here with is that they added Harbaugh as their head coach, which was already point one of a concern of saying Harbaugh's offense, a little bit more run heavy. He's had decent quarterbacks. He's also had quarterbacks that he's dealt with that have been a different style. So let's not, too much into that. But the second part is then we get the addition. We talked about this on SiriusXM on Saturday, in case anybody's wondering, like, hey, I think I've heard this before. Yeah, we did touch on this on Saturday. But you might not be awake at 9 a.m., depending on where you live in this country. So reminder, by the way, that this Saturday, SiriusXM, one more. We're going to do more of this discussion, maybe argue more about this football-wise on Saturday. And then they're shifting to wonderful baseball. Yeah, good times. But Greg Roman comes into town to lead this offense. Greg Roman has led an offense 10 times. 10 out of 10 times that offense has been inside the top six in rush attempts. 9 out of 10 times that offense has been in the bottom six in pass attempts. Chris Meany, is Justin Herbert even a QB1 next year?
I don't think so. And I saw your rankings, and I think it's fair. Spoiler
for everybody that doesn't know, way too early rankings over on The Athletic already out there, because it's never too early to talk. And here, let's start Stroud. Let's start with my boy at number six. Stroud at six. Burrow, Fields, Richardson, Kyler, Love, Brock. And then at 13, Justin Herbert.
Can't argue it, dude. Can't argue it. And
he's going to be such a trap next year.
And you know what? I may have a couple shares. It goes back to the Rice thing. Like, I've even last year, or not the Rice thing, the Kelsey debate. Even like last year, I didn't feel great about where he was going in the middle of rounds. It's like, I'm either going to be aggressive at the quarterback position, or I'm going to wait like you did, Jake, with Anthony Richardson and some other guys. Like, if he's quarterback 13, 14, then maybe I'll have a couple shares towards the end. But I'm not excited about him. He's not a target of mine. I thought what you just brought up, the reason you have him ranked, it's all, you know, good points and run first offense. The only thing I'll say and add is that maybe we'll see him run a little bit more. We saw some design runs back in the day with Harbaugh. And of course, Kaepernick is a little bit different. And even Lamar Jackson, these guys are much different rushing quarterbacks than Herbert. But I went back and looked. He only had 11 design runs, so maybe it doubles. Maybe they get him involved a little bit more because he can run. He's big body. We don't see it too often. Maybe he can get up to 450 rushing yards. But it's going to be a run-first team, is it not? It does seem like it's going to be a run-first team. It'll be very telling what they do at the running back position if they draft someone, who they sign. So, and I don't know.
Fascinated to see what they do in the offseason. It's one of those teams I'm keeping a hawkeye on. I'm very, very curious.
Because Jake, do you think they bring back Eckler? That doesn't seem the type of running back that Harbaugh wants. Like, he wants a guy that's going to get the ball 20-plus times on the ground. I don't know.
So, are they going to go sign Joe Mixon as a holdover?
God, I will. No.
Derrick Henry.
Don't put that juju out there. Mm-mm, no, sir.
Derrick Henry. Yeah, there you go. Lauren, would you like your boy Derrick Henry on the Chargers?
God, I would.
you would. I guess just what? He would get the ball a ton.
Okay.
Well, you know what the obvious one? You just said, Meany. You know what the obvious is. Just draft Blake Corum.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah. Draft is a guy from Michigan. Draft, I'm sure.
God, would that be a trip? I would love that.
Ton of running backs like in the third round this year, third, fourth. So maybe a couple targets there for them.
Oh, there are going to be plenty of the slide back because it's a weaker running back draft class. But there's a lot of tier twos running backs this year, not really a tier one. So there's going to be a lot that are sitting there on day three and even round three. You asked me one more thing. Have you asked me anything today?
Let me ask you
a question. Did you? I don't know if you did yet.
I don't know. This whole show's a blur. It's been fun, though.
The season's over.
A lot of mock drafts have the Chargers taking Bowers. Would that change your tune at all on Herbert?
No.
No. Because everyone's like, I think that's slightly early, too. I don't know if that's the, I don't think that that's going to be the pick by them. But I see a lot of mocks.
Bowers top 10.
Top 10.
Bowers, top 10 pick. I actually have Bowers at tight end 12 for everybody out there already at tight end 12. He is. So for everybody that got excited about Sam Laporta this season, and like I'm not saying don't fall, as we sidebar on this real quick, do not fall into the, oh my God, rookie tight end trap. But this is a little bit different because this isn't Laporta. This isn't even McBride from last year. This isn't Kincaid from this season. Musgrave, look what, this is Brock Bowers, if you want the comparison name conversation. Like, I'm gonna go all the way back. This is gonna be like Jeremy Shockey with the Giants. Like, this is, he's going to come in, no, because he's going to come into his team and be the two, likely, unless he got like, I can't even think of a team that's drafting that high that, like, but like your Eagles, like, you didn't have Dallas Goedert, like, he would come in and be the three, let's be honest,
right?
But most teams where he's gonna be taken, like, this is the Kyle Pitts. This is what I think. I don't want to steal it from whoever said it, so if you see it on Twitter, but you can probably search it on Twitter. But whoever said it, he's going to be what Kyle Pitts was supposed to be. But also, like, I'm still in on Kyle. I have Kyle Pitts higher than Bowers. It's just he's got, you know, no more Arthur Smith. But this is Bowers. But I don't think going to the Chargers would change the quarterback for me, just still because it would actually make me more concerned for Bowers. Just like I have Marvin Harrison as a wide receiver one. But if Marvin Harrison ended up on the Patriots, I would move him down It kind of has to do more with the team that he ends up on, because that's miserable. As we sidebar completely in that. Shout out. I was actually going to do that, Mr. Nice Guy, at the end of the show. I was going to say shout out to Patrick Mahomes. Also, if you want to add one more thing to his resume, Meanie, to make you say he deserves to be number two, he loves a redemption story. He loves redeeming players. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, kudos to get here. Mecole Hardman, kudos for the touchdown. But also, screw both you guys, because I lost a lot of props on Travis Kelce just getting one damn touchdown. Or some other on the flip side, you brought up Brandon Ayuk. Get your ass in the end zone next time. Thanks a lot, dude. Or
he
60,
was open on one play.
61 yards, 61 and a half yards, and he like, oh, sloshed so many things.
Purdy missed him on the end, in the end zone.
Well, you'll miss us, so tune in on Saturday, because this is like it for normal stuff this week. So tune in on Saturday for SiriusXM for the final football show of FTN. And follow Chris Meanie at Chris Meanie, at Stepmom Lauren, at Stepmom Lauren. And it's just very simple because I just said it. And we'll be back next Wednesday for shorter shows. Happy Valentine's Day. Spread your love today in the right way. This is it. Yo, you know what? Hold on, time out. Everybody's got the tooth. I forgot to tell you guys. So I was out of town. I forgot to tell you guys a quick story. This is the end of the show. Like, so this is great. You're gonna get the tease at the end. We used to do this way back in the day. Meanie and I would have like the stuff at the end of the show.
Yeah.
This is great because it's love related. This is so good. So I'm gonna try and get through this as quick as possible. So there is this company out here called Hackers. It's one of the ones where you go and you play golf on a simulated screen. It's not a chain, but the technology is. So you go in there, you pick your course and everything, you whack it into the screen, and it judges like where it went. It's not perfect yet. It's like there's some. But also, do not play Pebble Beach with your friends. For people that are like, oh, let's play Pebble Beach, say no, because there's sand and crap everywhere. But anyway, so we play this thing. It's 2 hours. The place closes at 10. It's a Thursday. This is in the nice area of Virginia Beach. If anybody wants to look up Hackers in Virginia Beach, because that's where I live, you can see where it is. Hilltop is a nice area, I guess, until you get to the very outskirts of Hilltop, because we leave at 10:05, because they have to reset the system while we're playing, so we're a little bit behind. So we leave. They lock the doors behind us. There's four of us standing right out in front of the door because my buddy came in from Japan and we were hanging out, catching up with him. So we're still talking like guys will do when we leave places. I'm assuming girls do too, Lauren. But anyway.
No, we never talk.
Just never? Just get straight in your car and go home?
We do.
Standing there in a box set up facing each other right outside the front door. And within 1 minute, there's this ratty old dude in clothes runs up. In the parking lot. He's like, is Birdneck that way? And we were like, yeah. He goes, the hospital kicked me out! And then just ran off. So, like, we're already like, what the hell is going on? What's going on? Thursday night, mind you, just a random Thursday night, 10:05. It's not even like 1 o'clock in the morning. 2 minutes later, we're still talking. This beat-up old 1998-looking Honda Accord pulls in. Windows down, bass and music, going crazy.
Windows down, system up.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm kind of catty corner to the parking lot. I catch it out of the corner of my eye, my peripheral. It pulls up right next to me. I'm talking 2-3 feet away. Window down, standing there facing each other. This lady leans over and yells out the window, any of y'all rich ends? And we're all like, what? And she goes, any of y'all rich ends? And my buddy goes, no. And I kind of went, what did she say? Like,
oh,
I whispered,
God,
like, Jake. Like, did she really say what she just said? And he's like, he nodded, and I started laughing. Like, I didn't like turn around. And she's like, damn, I'm out here. I need to sell my pee. And we're all like, okay. She's like, I'm looking for a rich end to sell my pee. And I'm like, all right. And so we're trying not to engage because at this point we're like, yeah, we don't want this conversation to continue going. She pulls off, backs into a parking space, two spots away from my buddy's giant F-250 truck, which is obviously not a cheap truck. So my buddy's parked on the other side of him, and I'm parked two spaces to the left. I wasn't driving the Tesla. I was just driving the Tucson. So none of us want to walk to our cars because we want to engage. You know, like we don't like you just don't want to go through the whole thing again. So we're trying to talk. I mean, we're still talking, catching up. She turns off the car, gets out, starts walking towards the building, has like a little mini bong in her hand, like full, like this is terrific. Like this, if the, she walks up to the front door and tries to open it. Mind you, they lock the doors behind us, locks it. And she goes, wouldn't y'all know it? Jesus Christ is saving me tonight because I'm out here trying to sell my, and I can't because the doors are locked and I can't find myself a rich one. I can get my weed, but I can't sell the oldest business in the world. Like just standing like preaching about selling and like just 2 feet away from us, like right there, 2 feet away from us. And we're all trying to like, don't look at her because you don't want to like have this conversation continue again. And yep, just continuing to preach out into the world. My buddy's like, hey, did you see the Celtics blew out blah, blah, blah tonight? And we're just kind of like, and of course, none of us pull out our phones and record this. Like, could have just, because you don't think about it at the time. You're just like, please don't, you know, make eye contact with this. And continues yelling, finally gets into her car, drives off, yells out the window again, couldn't sell my tonight. Guess God's protecting me. And that was the end of our experience at Hackers. All four of us got propositioned at the same damn time, just trying to have some fun playing golf. Happy Valentine's Day.
Not for her.
And on that note, we'll see you guys later.
What's up?